Penguin Random House Audio presents The Practice of the Presence of Jesus, Daily Meditations on the Nearness of Our Savior by Johnny Erickson Tada with John Sloan. This is the author, Johnny Erickson Tada.
Introduction. About Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence never intended for his letters to be read around the world. A monk who lived hundreds of years ago, he is best known today as the author of The Practice of the Presence of God. His book is small enough to fit in one hand and short enough to read in a day, but it has tremendous implications for anyone who picks it up. It became a phenomenal classic that has sold millions of copies in the last 5 decades. This little book of Lawrence's letters and conversations was not even credited to him initially. Lawrence never got to see his influence. But that would not have mattered to him. Brother Lawrence was a monk, a soldier, a peasant servant, a mystic, and a man who sought God for many years. He was born at Nicholas Hermann to peasant parents in eastern France in 1608 or 1614. The date of his birth is uncertain. Europe's 30 Years' War raged around Lawrence as he grew up. His childhood was marked by the conflict, and he entered military service young. His soldiers' wages paid for a small amount of food daily. He was on the battlefield against the French, Germans, Swedes, and other nations in a horrific pugilistic war. It was the brutality of personal combat in the war that bothered Lawrence, not the politics. He was also known for his bravery in that war. During one engagement, a party of German troops took him prisoner. They declared him a spy and treated him as such. They threatened to hang him. But he told them he wasn't frightened in the least. He wasn't who they stated he was, and therefore his conscience led him to look upon death indifferently. His honesty floored them, and the German officers let him go. While a soldier, he had an experience that deepened his spiritual life. One winter, he saw a barren tree without leaves and fruit. He realized that he was like the barren tree. He would be transformed through God's power, but only after a long season of very little fruit. A blow ended Lawrence's service. He received a leg wound so grievous and deep that he no longer walked like a man untouched by war. He was set aside like an old piece of furniture, never to be used again. His injury later led to sciatic gout, known today as arthritis of the hip joint, and an ulcerated wound, which caused a distinct limp. He couldn't escape some feelings of bitterness, but in his later writings he asserted the providence and care of God in war. Even in the face of life-changing afflictions, Lawrence admonished others to hope. Hope in him more than ever. Thank him with me for the favors he does you, particularly for the fortitude and patience which he gives you in your afflictions. It is a plain mark of the care he takes of you. Comfort yourself then with him, and give thanks for all. No longer able to serve as a soldier, he searched for another line of employment. He found work as a footman, opening carriage step-downs for the elite after their travels in the coach. Yet he proved incompetent at his job. Later, he would claim that he broke everything he touched, the steps or pieces of a coach, and presumably the livery of his coachman's customers. It was another training ground for his later spirituality, but he would not linger there for long. A broken soldier and hopeless footman, Lawrence decided to turn to a religious life. He joined the Descalced Carmelite Monastery in Paris. Lawrence was unchanged by his seminary life for his first decade there. He performed his tasks, washing dishes, carrying pots and pans, lifting hot kettles of scalding water, or cooking meals in the deep pans he later scrubbed. He mopped and swept floors. He was still clumsy. But it was there in the scullery that he found his secret, practicing the presence of God. He described the moment like this: I was troubled sometimes with thoughts that there was no salvation for me. When I thought of nothing but to end my days in these troubles, I found myself changed all at once, and my soul, which till that time was in trouble, felt a profound inward peace, as if she were in her center and place of rest. Brother Lawrence realized that God was always with him, even during the most menial tasks. And just by acknowledging God's presence, the most mundane jobs and the bleakest surroundings could be filled with God's love and light. Brother Lawrence devoted himself completely to practicing God's presence everywhere. God bless Lawrence in the kitchen and in the chapel, in times of pleasantness and in times of affliction, in whatever circumstances were brought his way. While others would rush to complete their duties, Brother Lawrence would do the same work and more, but he was ever mindful that God was present. There was no need to rush away from the presence of God. Lawrence had conversations with God while he worked, and his simple life was replete with satisfaction. As he wrote, "There is not in the world a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of a continual conversation with God." Through his awareness of his Father's presence beside him, Lawrence walked intimately with God through the remaining days of his life, each year becoming closer and closer to the one he served. Lawrence realized that even his mistakes were inroads to deeper communion with God. "I was very aware of my faults, but not discouraged by them. I confessed them to God and did not excuse myself. When I had done so, I peaceably resumed my usual practice of love and adoration." His lifelong pursuit of God was realized, and his practice of the presence of God was recorded in letters and conversations. Brother Lawrence found a desire for God that eliminated all other passions. "Let all our employment be to know God. The more one knows him, the more one desires to know him." He conversed with God in as familiar a way as with any other soul upon the earth. The monk humbly recommended his practice to others, knowing that the presence of God could be revealed to anyone who desired to know him better. "Were I a preacher, I should above all other things preach the practice of the presence of God. And were I a director, I should advise all the world to it. So necessary do I think it, and so easy too." Lawrence discovered a secret that is simple and true, and yet takes a lifetime to put into practice. He found that in our own lives, we can live every day, every hour, and every moment in the presence of God. We can, like Lawrence, be in the middle of pots and pans, and yet be experiencing God's presence. That's what mattered the most to Lawrence, finding God in every present moment. He would want all of us to experience that grace. About Johnny Erickson Tada. Johnny Erickson grew up in the era of new appliances, toasters, televisions, and two-car garages, where homes looked much the same on each block. In many 1950s post-war homes, church and Sunday school were routine for American families, although conversations with her sisters and parents were laced with references to God and the Bible. Johnny's awareness of Jesus was more connected to his teachings than his nearness. The Bible enjoyed a prominent place in the living room, but was revered from a distance. The Ericksons' faithfulness was most evident in their daily singing. They knew countless Christian hymns and regularly sang together. It was not considered odd to break into a hymn while doing chores, yard work, sitting around the table after dessert, or heading up the stairs for bed. The words of hymns shaped Johnny's early spiritual life. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." The name of Jesus remained familiar on the lips of Johnny and her sisters. The Erickson family had roots extending back to the beginnings of the Reformed Episcopal Church, a small conservative and liturgical denomination. In the Erickson household, the King James edition of the Book of Common Prayer stood opened. Johnny learned many psalms by heart. She also learned the Collect for Purity, the Nicene and Apostles' Creeds, the General Thanksgiving, the Confession of Sin, and other prayers. She felt more comfortable with the rhythms of liturgy than the free-form services of most evangelical churches that her friends attended. The last of four girls, Johnny struggled to keep up with her act.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?